The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge, the path of knowledge. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله the prophet of mankind the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who recites durood 200 times upon me on the blessed day of Jum'at al-Mubarakah, his 200 years sins will be forgiven. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful silsila and episode of our lovely series An Array of Dawn. And today, alhamdulillah, we will be discussing another disease also, which is also a very common disease, a disease which is very dangerous, a disease which is found in every house, every home. That disease which has stopped us from becoming successful ourselves and from letting others become successful as well. And this is such a disease which is faulty and it has lots of nuisance. This disease is called hasad. In English we say jealousy. Allahu Akbar. This is such a disease which has destroyed homes, which has destroyed families, has destroyed relatives, has destroyed friendships and ties, and many issues took place just because of this one single disease. And indeed, this is also a disease which leads one towards Jahannam, may it earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, today we will be discussing this disease. What is this disease? What is this disease called? What are the harms of it? What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding this? By his predecessors, what was their approach regarding this disease? And inshallah, how can we try to reform ourselves and become better in terms of controlling ourselves from this harmful and effectful disease. So inshallah, today we have another exciting topic. And in Islam, if you need to protect yourself from those things which lead you to Jahannam, like backbiting, jealousy, takabbur, pride, arrogance, riya, ostentation, showing off, so you need to know about it in order to save yourself from it. If you do not know what is jealousy, how are you going to protect yourself from jealousy? If you do not know what is backbiting, how are you going to protect yourself from backbiting? If you don't know what is takabbur, what is pride, how are you going to protect yourself? So in order for you to protect yourself from a certain disease, from a certain harmful thing, you need to first know about it. What is it? And how can I save myself from it? Then only will you be able to prevent yourself from it. So we need to know about these diseases as well. And it is very important as well. So we have a very exciting and beautiful topic for you all today in our today's silsila. So do not go anywhere. Remain seated and fixed with your Madani channel. But we will take a short break now to listen to a beautiful kalam. And inshallah, azawajal, as soon as we return, we will be carrying on our beautiful and exciting topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, unzur halana. Ya Habiballah, isma qalana. Innani fi bahari ghammin. خذ يدي سهل لنا إشكالنا مولا روسیوں پر کرم میں دو جہاں کے تاجدار مولا اپنے غم میں اپنی الفت میں رولا Oh, yeah.
खाली तेरे अतार डर किस बात का, मुस्तफा वाली तेरे अतार डर किस बात का। कारगर होगा ना तुझ पर दुश्मनों का कोई वार, कारगर होगा ना तुझ पर दुश्मनों का कोई
मौला
वार।
रूसियों पर करम है दो जहां के
मौला, सल्लुल्हबीब सल्लल्लाहु ताला अला मुहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु ताला अलैहि वसल्लम, सलातो व सलाम अलैका या सय्यदी या हबीबी या रसूल अल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अला मुहम्मद नूर मिन नूरिल्लाह। सुभान अल्लाह, अ वेरी ब्यूटीफुल इंसिडेंट I will share with you all inshallah to discuss and begin our today's topic. And that incident is, once there was a person who was a very close minister, I'll say, of a king. And he would go frequently in the court of the king and give the king some advice. Sometimes, you know, he would say some few good words. Sometimes he would praise the king, but whenever he would go, he would give some piece of advice, and the king would give him gifts in return. And he had one special piece of advice which he used to tell the king. And what was that special piece of advice? Was that if someone does a favor to you, then repay his favor. You do the favor back to him. And if someone did something bad to you, then don't be bad to him, because his evil action, his bad action, his bad deed is sufficient for him. Means that evil action is going to destroy him, that evil action is going to, you know, cause some problem for him. So this was the advice which this minister used to give this king. And the king used to give lots of gifts, lots of rewards, you know, to he, the king used to get happy when he used to see him. So there was another person who used to be jealous of this minister. You know, he goes to the king, he speaks to the king, and the king gives him so much gifts. The king likes him, the king listens to him. So he started getting jealous, and he said that I'm going to do something which is going to you know, destroy this person, and you know, his value and his respect is going to drop in the eyes of the king. So he planned something. One day he went to the king and he said, "Oh, my honor, my king, do you know that this person who you listen to so much, this person whose advice you take, this person who you respect so much, you listen to him, you give him gifts. Do you know what he says about you in the entire kingdom?" So the king said, "What?" He says that he goes in the kingdom and he tells everyone that the king has a foul smell emanating from his mouth. In other words, the king's mouth smells. So the king said, "How can you place an accusation on him? Do you have any proof? How do you know that he says this?" He says, "Well, Your Majesty, you can see yourself tomorrow. Tomorrow, call him by you, and when he comes to speak to you, call him closer to you, and you'll see he'll start covering his mouth and his nose." So the king said, "Okay." So what this person did was, he went home and he invited that minister, the one who the king liked, he invited him to his house. This jealous person invited him to his house and fed him lots of garlic. And you all know that if you eat lots of garlic, it happens that your mouth tends to smell. Means it has that smell. Likewise, if you eat raw onions, then that smell emanates from the mouth. So he fed him a lots of raw garlic, and the person ate it, and after eating it, he felt that there is a smell emanating from his mouth, and immediately after that, he had to go in the court of the king. So he went in the king's court and he started giving advice. So the king looked at him and the king called him a bit closer. So when he came closer, he thought that, I just ate garlic now, and if I'm going to speak to the king, then my smell will cause disturb to the king. So what he did was, when he went close, he covered his mouth while speaking to the king. Here the king had that thought in his mind, which that jealous person has put. He's going to block his mouth and nose because he says your mouth smells. So when this person came forward and he covered his mouth to stop, to prevent his smell going towards the king became angry. And he said that now my doubt is cleared. I mean, that person, the jealous person, what he was telling me is 100% true. So the king became angry. And in anger, he wrote a letter. And on the letter, he wrote, "The person who is bringing this letter to you, kill him and fill his body with grass and these kind of things, and send his body to me." So it was actually the routine of the king that whenever the king needed to give a reward to someone, a gift to someone, then he would write on the letter with his own hand. And if there was any other thing, like a punishment or any other thing needed to be done, then he would tell someone else to write for him, or his scribe used to write it down. But in this situation, the king was so angry that he didn't think that somebody else should write it. He wrote it himself. So, and he gave the letter to this person here, his minister, and said, "Go to the so and so person and give him this letter." So he said, "Okay." And as he walked out, the jealous person looked at him and he asked that, "What do you have in your hand?" So he said, "The king wrote this letter and he said I should give it to so and so person." So this jealous person thought that, whenever the king writes something himself, it's obviously a gift. So he said, "Okay, you know what? Give me this letter. Let me take it for you. Whatever it that the king wrote in it, let me take it." This person said, "No problem," and he gave him the letter. The jealous person now thought that the king wrote some gift or something nice inside, and I'm going to take it from him. So as soon as he reached the person who the king sent him to, and he gave him this letter, on the letter, when he opened it, it's in the person who is coming with this letter, "Kill him and fill his body with grass and send it to me." So the prosecutor and that person said that, "See, this is what is written on this letter, and because you brought this letter, I have to kill you." Now the jealous person started crying and screaming, and he said, "No, it wasn't. The letter was not given to me. The letter was given to so and so person, and I took it from him and I brought it to you. It was my mistake. I should have let him brought the letter. If you want, you can confirm with the king. The king wrote this letter for that person, not for me." And that person said, "Unfortunately, I cannot question the decisions of the king. Whatever the king has written and he has said, I'm going to fulfill it. The king said the one who is bringing this letter. He didn't mention any name or any quality, and you are the one who brought this letter, so I have to fulfill the command of the king." And saying this, he then killed that jealous person. So the next day, when the minister went in the court of the king, now the minister doesn't know what the king wrote in the letter and what the entire situation is. So when he went in the court of the king to give advice, the king was shocked and said that, "Yesterday I sent you with a letter. Where did you give that letter?" So he said, "As soon as I left the your court, then that person came to me and he took the letter for me and he gave it." So the king said, "That letter was for you, it wasn't for him." And the king said, "On that letter I said that I ordered for you to be killed." So the minister asked, "What's the reason? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? Did I make a mistake?" The king said, "You have been spreading rumors regarding me around the kingdom." So the minister said, "No, I have not been spreading any rumors. What rumors are you talking about?" So the king said that, "You're telling everyone in the kingdom that when I speak, there is a smell which emanates from my mouth." So he said, "I've never said that." The king said, "Then yesterday when you came to me, when you came close to me, why did you cover your mouth and your nose?" So he explained the situation, that person invited me to his house and he fed me garlic, and that's why when I was speaking to you. I didn't want the smell to reach you. That's the reason I was covering my mouth, not to protect my nose from your smell or something, but that's not the reason. So the king then understood the entire scenario, and he understood that that person was actually jealous, and he planned this entire thing so that this minister could be degraded in the court and the sight of the king, and you know, the king would then order for him to be killed. And the king understood the situation, and then he told his minister that from today, whenever you come to give me advice, that specific advice which you used to give me, give it to me every day. And what is that? That do good with the person who does good to you, repay his favor, and the one who does bad to you, keep him and leave him, because his badness and his evil action will be sufficient for him. And this was the moral of the story, that that person who was jealous, his jealousy and his evil deed became the cause for his own destruction. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madani channel, this was the disease called hasad and jealousy. Allahu Akbar. What a filthy disease this is. What a difficult you know, thing and quality this is in everyone's life, that it can destroy a person. It can destroy a person internally. It can destroy a person spiritually. It can destroy a person physically, and can cause many, many, many harms. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these kinds of diseases, especially the disease of the jealousy. Hazrat Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that the apparent actions and the appearance of a person has a very close connection with his inner being. So if his inner being is pure, if his inner being is clean, if his inner being is, you know, clean from all sorts of diseases and filthy things, automatically his apparent actions and his appearance starts becoming excellent. But if a person's inner being is destroyed, he has the diseases like jealousy and takabbur and ostentation and these kinds of diseases, then automatically his apparent part and his apparent actions start becoming faulty, and they start becoming dirty. So in order for you to become excellent on your outer self, your zahiri part should be excellent, you have to first start cleaning your inner self. And to clean your inner self, you need to clean your heart from all these kinds of hidden diseases. And one of them is this jealousy. Allahu Akbar. What is the definition of jealousy? We will learn. But before the definition of jealousy, let's listen to a beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the summary of a hadith that do not be jealous of one another. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't have enmity and hatred with one another. Allahu Akbar. Then my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't mention the bad qualities or the faults or bad things of one another behind each other's back. So don't be jealous of each other. Don't have enmity and hatred for each other. And don't speak bad about your Muslim brother behind his back. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and O slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remain as brothers. It means not have brothers to one another, so remain as brothers. Don't, you know, kill yourself because of these small things, that you start being jealous of one another, you start hating one another, you start showing enmity to one another, and you start talking behind the back of each other. And explaining this beautiful hadith, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi mentions that, you know, bad assumptions, hasad, hatred, bughz, these kind of things are such things which break the love between two people. It destroys the love between two Muslim brothers, and it finishes the brotherhood amongst the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. So he says that is why it is necessary for you to leave these faults, leave jealousy, leave enmity, leave hatred, leave bad assumptions, and then only, you know, you will be able to remain as brothers, and you will stay as brothers. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So what is the definition of hasad? The desire in a person's heart for someone's bounty, whether it is a dini bounty or a dunyawi bounty, means a bounty related to the dini matters or a bounty related to the worldly matters, any bounty. So a desire a person has that that bounty of a certain person should be cancelled, should finish, and he shouldn't get that bounty. This is called hasad. The one who does hasad, who does jealousy, is called the hasid, and the one upon whom the jealousy is done is called the mahsud. It means a person has this desire that, you know, the certain bounty which that person has, he shouldn't get it. That bounty should be finished. It should go away from him, and you know, he shouldn't have any relation with that specific bounty. This is called hasad. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Mufassir al-Shahir, Mufti Ahmad al-Khan Na'imi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions some types of hasad. And he says that hasad is of four categories, four different categories. And every time you have this feeling in your heart, you must know which category are you falling under. He says the first type of hasad is that a person has the desire that the bounty of the next person should finish and it should go away from him. That whether I get it or I don't get it, not a problem, but he must not get that bounty, and that bounty must you know, go away from him. This type of hasad is a gunai kabira, and it is a severe sin, a big sin for Muslims. The second type of hasad, he says that the person has a desire that the bounty of the next person should be attained by him. Means he should get the bounty of the next person. He says this type of jealousy is also haram amongst the Muslims. The third type of jealousy, he says that the hasid, the one who is jealous, he himself is helpless from getting that bounty. Means he can't get the specific bounty, so he has a desire that, you know, that person should also not get this bounty, and that bounty should not increase as well. Because I can't get that bounty, so he should also not have it, and that bounty must not increase by him as well. This is also not permissible. Allahu Akbar. And the fourth type of, or the fourth category of hasad, which comes under one of the categories of hasad, is that a person has a desire that the bounty which the next person has, he should have that bounty. That bounty must remain by him. All right. And likewise, he also desires that I should also get that bounty from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although this is also come, it comes under the category of hasad, but it is not called hasad. This is actually called ghibta, and it is called rashk. Right? This is not something which is impermissible, because here you are looking at the bounty of the next person, but you're not having the desire that the bounty must be taken away from him. No, you want him to stay with that bounty. At the same time, you also have the desire for that bounty. So you make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the bounty in him, may the bounty remain by him, and may I also get that bounty. So in this case, there is nothing impermissible or nothing wrong here, because you are caring and you are thinking of your brother as well and of yourself as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this kind of rashk and this kind of quality, this kind of envy, I will say, this is necessary in some cases, such as if there are some actions of Islam which are necessary for you, and somebody is doing those actions, then in that case, there for you to have that envy is necessary. For example, somebody is performing his five times salah. Five times salah is farz upon him and upon you as well. But he is performing five times salah, you are not performing five times salah, then you have this desire, you know, he is performing this five times salah, may I also have the ability and tawfiq to perform my five times salah. So this time here, to have that envy, to have this desire that I should also get that bounty which he has, it is necessary and wajib upon you to have that desire. Why? Because the namaz is farz upon you as well. So if you are not going to have this desire, it shows that automatically you are pleased with not performing your salah, and you are happy in this situation that you are not performing your five times salah, which are farz on you, and this is a sin, because you are happy on a sin and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this case here, when that act is necessary upon you, then to have this sort of envy and this desire that I should also get that bounty, it becomes wajib and necessary on you. Subhanallah. But there are some different situations as well. You know, the matter is something which is not related to faraiz and wajibat. It is just a matter related to, excellences. Like for example, zikrullah. Someone is doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not farz upon you to also do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that case, it is mustahab for you to have this envy. That, you know, he has this bounty of doing the zikr of Allah. May I also get this bounty. So at that time, it becomes mustahab for you to have that certain envy. And if, it is a bounty which is not necessary on you, not farz on you, but a bounty which is permissible. For example, nikah. Nikah is also a bounty, but it is something which is permissible. It's not farz upon you that you have to go and make nikah. Yes, in some situations, the ruling differs, but generally I'm speaking, it's not necessary for you, yet, you know, nikah is not farz upon you. So, you see a person, he is making nikah and it is a bounty. In that time, to have the envy in your heart will become permissible that, you know, he is performing nikah and it's a bounty. May I also have this bounty to perform nikah, subhanAllah. So this quality is good. If you see a bounty in someone, don't wish for that bounty to be destroyed. Don't wish that I must get that bounty, or if I can't get it, he must not get it also. No, he has the bounty, Allah Ta'ala has granted it to him, subhanAllah. May the bounty increase in his favor, and may I also get that bounty from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this kind of thinking and these kinds of thoughts, if we are going to bring in our hearts and mind, automatically we are going to start reforming ourselves, and we can clean our hearts from this jealousy and from this hasad. Shaitan, the first sin which he committed, and the first sin I will say which was done, was actually jealousy. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and he told the malaika that, you know, prostrate and make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, at that time Iblis, Shaitan, he had jealousy in his heart that, you know, I must perform sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And he had that feeling that, you know, why should I perform sajda to Adam alayhi salam? So he became jealous, and because of the jealousy, he ended up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became mardood and rejected and cursed until the day of Qiyamah. So the base of everything and the starting point of everything was the jealousy which he had in his heart against Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Allah Ulama-i Kiram has said that that was the cause for him disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which proves how filthy and how dirty is this act of jealousy and how bad it is. It is so important to protect yourself from this jealousy and from this hasad. And unfortunately, this is such a disease which is in everyone, which is almost in every house. Every person has this. The moment we see someone having something, some bounty, immediately we start feeling jealous. Immediately we start thinking bad. And with that, you know, 1,000 issues come. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that bounty. You should be happy. It's Allah Ta'ala who granted it to him. So be happy on the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Araditu, I am happy. I am pleased. If Allah Ta'ala decided that is better for him and he has given him that bounty, then I am happy with it. Alhamdulillah. Make dua for your Muslim brother. Why do you want to be jealous? Tell me, by showing jealousy, are you going to get that bounty? By showing jealousy, are you going to, is something going to happen? Nothing is going to happen. What's going to happen? You are going to put more tension on your brain and you are going to trouble yourself. Why? Because then you will be thinking, why he has this bounty? How come he has this bounty? And every moment he's going to start picking your heart, he's going to start disturbing you, and your life will become difficult for nothing. You are putting your life in difficulty. So can't you just accept the fact that yes, he has a bounty? MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, make dua for him. And make dua that you also get a bounty from Allah, so from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Possible, maybe he did a good action. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved his specific action, because of which Allah Ta'ala bestowed the bounty upon him. Then think about yourself, that are my actions good? Am I doing good things? Am I obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Maybe I'm not receiving so and so bounty because of my actions. Why don't we think in this manner? The moment we start thinking in this manner, that you know, it is my fault, I am not receiving something, I am not getting something because of my shortcomings, and you start looking at yourself, automatically, you know, you will start rectifying yourself from many diseases. But the problem is, we are not sincere with ourselves. You know, how must I put it in beautiful words, that we are not ready to accept our faults and our problems, but we are ready to find the faults and worry about everyone else's problem. Somebody very beautifully said, apne man mein doob kar pa ja suraag-e zindagi, tu agar mera nahi banta na ban, apna to ban. At least become sincere to yourself. And when you become sincere to yourself, then ask yourself a question, that how good are you? How pious are you? How better are you? And then you will get your answer, you know, what a human being you are. And when you get your answer that what a bad person you are, automatically you will stop being jealous of another person. Automatically you will remove pride from your heart. Automatically you will stop doing backbiting and having hatred against others, because you will realize that I am not better than him. What value do I have that I should have all these kinds of filthy diseases, whereas I myself am such a dirty and filthy person? So the main thing is, you know, your self-accountability. That is why our madri maqsad is, I must strive to reform myself, then the people of the entire world. It's not the people of the world first and then myself. Because you need to first clean your heart and clean your body, then only you are going to go and clean others as well. And you're going to rectify others as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to adopt this kind of thinking. And this positive thinking, once we have, inshallah, our lives will become easy and everything will become easy, subhanallah. Let us take a short break here, and we will be listening to a very beautiful Madni Pool. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Umul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, states that the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam came to me and said, oh Aisha, wash both of these shawls. So I said, oh Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, I just washed them yesterday. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam replied, listen to this, viewers of Malaysia, are you not aware that clothes make tasbih of Allah azza wa jal, and when they become dirty, the tasbih stops. They do the zikr of Allah azza wa jal, and when clothes become dirty, they stop doing the zikr. Allahu Akbar. These aspects of the blessed life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam are inviting us to give special attention to cleanliness and hygiene. Allah azza wa jalla states in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 222. Allah azza wa jalla says, indeed, Allah loves the one who repents abundantly and loves those purify themselves. Moreover, viewers of Manichal, the Blessed Hadith also mentioned the importance of cleanliness and hygiene in many places. The meaning of purity is vast in Islam. The need of purity in a human life begins at birth and it continues until his death. Therefore, being connected with purity is a protection of life. And disassociation from purity is the fall of life. Observing purity is health. And the deepness of purity is illness. It is for this reason, viewers of Munchal, that purity is a word containing vast meanings. And in the sight of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is why he declared cleanliness to be half of Iman. Allahu Akbar. I'm just going to give you some hadiths with regards to cleanliness. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, cleanliness is half of Iman. In another hadith, he said, indeed, Islam is a clean and pure religion. So attain purity, for only the one who remains clean will enter paradise. In another hadith, attain purity through anything you find. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed the foundation of Islam upon cleanliness, and only those who stay clean will enter paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said, keep what you wear clean and look after your rides, and your outward appearance should be so clean that when you go amongst people, they honor you.
Subhanallah.
Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullah ta'ala states that this hadith indicates that the fact that the one should avoid all such things that people show dislike and disdain towards, the rulers and the scholars should especially avoid them. In another hadith, it is stated, that it is necessary upon every Muslim to perform ghusl once in every 7 days in which he washes his head and body. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala states, the meaning of once here is the day of Friday. It means that a person should perform ghusl on Friday in the week so that the body is clean as well as the clothes, and so the usul of the Muslims are not harmed in the crowd of Friday prayers. As the head has more dirt, it has been mentioned specifically. Otherwise, it is also included in the water in the body. To gargle, sniff water over the nose and wash the entire body is fard for us.
صلوا الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله, we do have some calls with us. Let us take some calls, please.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm Ibrahim from Johannesburg, South Africa. I would like to know, how can a person start to change his thinking and start thinking good of a person that he is jealous of?
Subhanallah, how can a person start, you know, change his thinking and start thinking good about the person he is jealous of? The first thing you must keep in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed that bounty on him. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed him that, as a Muslim, as a believer, we should remain pleased on every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will be the first step towards understanding that I shouldn't be jealous of him, because if I am being jealous of him, then I am not appreciating, and I am not accepting the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed that bounty on him. It is better for him, Allah ta'ala has granted it to him. The second thing we should keep in mind is that different people receive different bounties from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That bounty was better for him. Allah Ta'ala knew what was better for him, so he was granted that. And maybe that bounty is not better for me. I mean, let's say he has a smart car or a nice car. Allah Ta'ala knew it was better for him, so he granted him that. Maybe that bounty is not good for me. I mean, if I have a car, I'll be driving on the road and, maybe I'll bump into something, I'll meet up in an accident. It's possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is better for me and what is not better for me, and I should remain pleased on every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and the third thing which you can keep in your mind is that there is no benefit in being jealous of that person. I mean, by me being jealous, ask yourself the question that, will he lose that bounty? By me being jealous, will he not have that bounty? By me being jealous, will there be any shortage in his bounty? No. The answer to all these questions will be no, no, no. So what is the point of being jealous? That you are just going to trouble yourself, you are just going to hurt yourself. Yeah. These are a few things which you can keep in your mind. And at the same time, a person should keep on making istighfar and tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean his heart from these kinds of thoughts. The moment you clean your heart from these kinds of thoughts, automatically, inshallah, your jealousy will start moving away. And move your mind away from the jealousy and keep in mind that you have to always be pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama ikram and sufiya ikram have mentioned that hasad and jealousy is actually the base, and it leads to all other diseases as well. Because when a person is jealous of someone, automatically he'll start having a little hatred for that person slowly. He'll start having malice for that person slowly. Because of his jealousy, he'll start backbiting about that person to others, because he's jealous of him. Out of the jealousy, he'll start speaking bad about that person behind him. Out of the jealousy, it's possible he can start carrying tales to others of that person. Out of the jealousy, it's possible he can start saying something bad to that person. Out of the jealousy, maybe he'll even go and hit that person. And so the jealousy is actually the starting point, and from there all the other problems and all the other diseases come. What happened to Shaitan? He first had jealousy from Adam alayhi salam, and then he showed takabbur and pride. So he was jealous. Then when he refused to make sajda, he said, why should I make sajda? I am better than him. So jealousy led him towards takabbur, and then eventually he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he became rejected. So this is actually the starting point. With jealousy, all the other diseases also come together. That's why it is one of the most destructive qualities for a human being, spiritually, mentally, physically, in all ways. Secondly, why is it so disturbing and why does it affect a person badly? Because a person who is jealous, indirectly, he is showing his displeasure with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if you are jealous of someone for any bounty, who grants him that bounty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are jealous, you are indirectly showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him that bounty and you are not happy with it. Because if you were happy with it, you wouldn't have been jealous of him. But you are jealous of him, which shows you are not happy. So indirectly, you are going against the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something very bad and very severe. These are just a few things which I kept in front of you. Besides this, there are many other things, you know, why jealousy is so bad and what a bad impact it has on a person spiritually. And, you know, it can destroy a person's heart and it can kill a person, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in summary of a hadith that jealousy eats the good deeds as fire eats dry wood. How does fire consume dry wood? Within seconds it burns all the wood and becomes ashes. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that is how jealousy eats your good deeds. So this is how harmful it is. I mean, something which is destroying your good deeds, something which is destroying your spirituality, something which is taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which is leading you to have a bad thinking, or something which is leading you towards not being pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how evil that thing must be, how bad it must be. So for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message which I'm leaving everyone with today is, whatever happens, try your best to remove that jealousy from your heart. If you see a bounty anyone, say MashaAllah, say Alhamdulillah, say SubhanAllah, make dua immediately, may Allah Ta'ala grant him more. The moment you see a bounty, make dua, may Allah Ta'ala grant him more. InshaAllah, you won't have that jealousy. And if you like that bounty, then make dua, may Allah Ta'ala increase that bounty, he must also have that bounty. And inshallah, if it is good for me, may I also get the bounty from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this quality I want everyone to tie with himself and adopt this quality and instill this quality in your hearts and in your lives and in your routines as well. Subhanallah, this is, alhamdulillah, we have now come towards the conclusion of our silsila. Remain happy, be happy, remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, the hearts of your beloveds, because this love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman and the base of everything. We hope to see you soon. Remain positive, be positive, think positive, stay positive. Till then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of